Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Bill. Thank you to all of the men who have taken part and will, Lord willing, take part in the rest of the worship service this day. And thank you to the members that are attending and to the visitors that are here this day. And glory to God in the highest. And may we recognize His goodness. He's everywhere in our lives, whether or not we give Him the glory, He's there. I'm just so thankful to God that He's watched over me all the years of my life. Amen. He's watched over me, not that I've ever deserved the Lord to watch over me and care for me. I never have. But there were times when, boy, I really did not deserve God's grace in my life. But He was still there. Even when I tried to reject Him and turn away from Him, His Holy Spirit kept, pestering me, right? He wouldn't leave my soul alone. And God said, you know better than this. You know how to live right. You need to serve me so that you can live eternally with me. And I thank God for all of that. He is so good. And here we are in October. It seemed like the year just began. And we've chosen this scripture and that was just read in the Corinthian letter there about being ambassadors to Christ. And we have explored this from so many different angles. And I'll take just a little bit of another angle to look at this morning together, because we're finding out that being ambassadors to Christ is very involved. But you know, being an ambassador to Christ, if you've noticed, is the same thing as being a Christian, isn't it? All of the things that ambassadors are expected to do and to be are expected of Christians. And you cannot be a Christian and a servant of God without being an ambassador. And it's an awesome responsibility, because the scriptures tells us that when we meet people that know nothing of God, we speak for Him. We represent Him. And that's kind of scary to me, to think of little old me speaking for God. But I'm not free to speak my own words and my own thoughts. I'm to represent God as He wants me to represent Him. And we're discovering that it's not always an easy thing. I once heard it said that if you think being a Christian is easy, you're not doing it right. And I think that's the truth. We are challenged being Christians. Now, sometimes it is easy. Sometimes it's so enjoyable, it's not even work. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, for want of a better word, it's just really fun being a Christian. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's work. And sometimes it's not about being what we would call happy, though in the ultimate end, it is. This morning, I want to talk about ambassadors again. And the title of the lesson I've chosen is Ambassadors Know How to Forgive. I want to talk about forgiveness for a little while, because I think that in the world, the concept of forgiveness is very rare. People know the word, but actually to find people living in the world that forgive, you just almost never find that. There's quite a few scriptures that I'm going to use, and I'll mention them as I go along. I was going to do like Jeremiah does sometimes and just read them off and let you write them down. But just follow along and write them down as we come to them, and it might be a bit more expedient for me this morning. Now, Christianity, being an ambassador, it's congregational. It's us. It's all of us. It's a family thing. Christians are family, aren't we? We should be, right? We're connected together in that way. And Jesus gives us some prayer principles in what we call the Lord's Prayer. I don't think that's a very good name for it. It's certainly not, the Bible doesn't say that, but we've kind of named it that, the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually His model that we can use to design our prayers. And a good portion of that prayer, and this is in Matthew 6, 9, if you'd like to turn over there and look at it. A good portion of that prayer is about forgiveness. Now, if you would read it with me for a moment, we'll see what we can determine. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now listen, listen what he says here. Forgive us our debts. Now keep in mind, this is not necessarily talking about that you owe the bank for your house or your car or whatever. That's not the kind of debt we're talking about. We're talking about things that we owe of a spiritual nature, our spiritual transgressions, if you will. So forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven. Now notice, it doesn't say, God, forgive us of our debts, and then we will forgive others. The assumption is made that if we are praying to God and asking Him to forgive us of our sins, then we've already done that. We're already there. We've already forgiven those who have wronged us, our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Now, just in case we didn't get that from the positive side, He gives it to us. Jesus gives it to us from the negative side. But if you do not forgive, if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. That's a big deal to me. My sins is what separates me from God. If I have sins held to my account, I can't enter heaven. I can't live eternally with God. God does not accept. He will not be in the presence of sin. I need, and I'm a sinner. Aren't you? Aren't we all? So the only way I can rid myself of that is not dependent on, you can't quit sinning. I suppose you can. Yes, you can quit sinning, though I don't know anyone who has. But if even if you quit sinning, you've already sinned. Those aren't gone unless we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take those sins away and then make it possible for us to be with God. Now, Mark 11, 25, Jesus is saying here, when you stand praying, he says stand, but you could be sitting, you could just be praying. That's the point. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Again, it's built into this is when you begin to pray to God, if you expect God to listen and give you the answer that you desire, you better not hold in your heart anything against anyone. Have we thought about that? You pray to, I'm guilty, I think. Don't you? Sometimes. Sometimes I'm angry about something or someone. And I pray to God for the things that I want Him to do for me. What about that anger in your heart? Think that's a problem? I think it is. It says, forgive him. Before you approach God, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So is forgiveness important? That's the question we have to ask. Jesus seemed to think so, didn't he? And if Jesus thought so, and I'm a follower of Jesus, I think so too. I think forgiveness is very important. Listen to the dying words of Jesus as he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. This is emotional to me because I can picture this. I can see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, nails in his hands and feet, bleeding and in pain. For what? Because some people didn't like him. That's it. He didn't do anything wrong. All he did is preach love and grace of his Father. All he did is serve God and show you and I the way. And he hung on that cross. And then he prayed to God while he's hanging there. Forgive them, Father. They just don't know. They don't know what they're doing. I don't think I could do that. It's a high mark, isn't it? If I was hanging there, and even if I wasn't hanging there, if I'm just being persecuted, if I find myself in a court of law accused of something that I didn't do, boy, I'm just all up at arms, right? And then if the judgment goes against me and I have to actually pay monetarily to somebody because the court or a miscarriage of justice or whatever, I'm all upset and angry at the people responsible for not treating me right. I can't even picture myself saying, Father, forgive them. They're of this world. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe I need to make an adjustment in my life. Don't you think? Maybe some of us do. Forgive them, he said. Jesus knew that us can never really be family without forgiveness. Now just think about it, if you would, because this is a spiritual family. The greatest connection we have is the spiritual connection we have because of Jesus Christ. But it's not just spiritual. We exist in a physical sense. And we all have physical families, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, and many of us have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on. Now, in my physical family, and I'm gonna guess yours too, if we don't have a way, I call it getting over it. Just get over it, right? When one of your family members says something to you, it makes you angry or you're upset, you get upset, you just gotta get over it. You gotta forgive them, right? If we don't find a way to forgive each other, then what do we have? A pretty miserable family, huh? We just don't really have a family at all. And so we've got to learn that in the spiritual family of God too. We need to learn about both giving forgiveness for sure, but then we've got to learn about receiving forgiveness as well. Now the world, don't get mad, they say, just get even, okay? Now, a lot of the world might not say that, but for the most part, that's the way the world lives. If somebody does you wrong, then you get back at them, right? You take it out on them. And some people even say, oh, wait for them to do you wrong. If you think they're going to do you wrong, get them before they do it, right? People, the world lives like this. But God has a radically different way for us to deal with those who wrong us. People do wrong us. Either they really do wrong to us, or at least in our mind we perceive that we've been wronged. We need a way to deal with it. We need to listen to God. And He has kind of, at least according to the world, kind of a radical way for us to deal with this. Being congregational, right? Being a family, a radical way for us. And it's called just plain forgiveness. And this concept of forgiveness, it is not from the mind of men. Men didn't dream this up. Men have never on their own come up with this idea. Men retaliate. You hit me, I hit you harder, right? Men do that way. If you get a gun, I get a bigger gun, right? Nations do this. It's the way of the world. And on our own, we didn't dream this up. And then God comes up with forgiveness and says, well, my people, my children, those who believe in me are going to be different. Let's see why we can learn together this morning. The Greek word for forgiveness literally means to send away or to put away as if it never happened. That's hard. That's hard. Real forgiveness is something we have to work at. I think we catch a gleam, or at least a glimpse of what forgiveness really is as we consider how God describes His forgiving us. See, God shows us the way. If we pay attention to God, then we can learn how to forgive. God tells us that when He forgives, He remembers no more. Praise God that He doesn't remember anymore the things that I've done in my past, because I do, right? And I'm thankful that God doesn't hold me accountable for those sins anymore. He gives me absolute and total forgiveness. Why? Because He loves me. He loves me and tells me if I obey Him and I live according to the principles He's laid down, that the blood of His Son is going to cleanse me of my sins. Forgiveness is necessary. Well, why? Because it's crucial to our personal and church health. The world is sick, isn't it? Amen. They're sick. And if we live like they live, we'll be sick too. We'll have the same disease. Amen. The world knows not how to forgive. The world does not recognize, and sometimes I think even in the family of God, we have a hard time recognizing what forgiveness does. It's about me. If you do me wrong, it's about me. You understand what I'm saying? It's not so much about you. You might not even want me to forgive you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Let's move on. Now, the church health is involved in this too. Forgiveness is not just setting somebody else free. I think that's our concept sometimes. It's not just releasing one another. This is just half of it. And as far as I'm concerned, maybe not even the most important half of it. When we truly forgive, we are releasing ourselves. We're allowing ourselves to be free. Amen. We are setting ourselves free. Have you ever been so upset with someone that just the sight of them sets you off? Amen. Know what I'm saying? If you think they're going to be somewhere, you don't go there because you don't want to see them, because if you see them, whatever it is that you have against them is going to ruin your day. You're not free. You don't, if that's the case, you mean you don't have a choice? And if your heart is like that, no. They ruin your day every time you see them. Why? You choose it for yourself. You've got to forgive them. Why? You need it. Now, they're part of it, yes, but what about you? You need to be free of this. That's no way to live. Listen to these scriptures that verify this concept of forgiveness. Job 5, verse 2 says, resentment, listen to this, resentment kills a fool. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Resentment kills a fool. Resentment means we are clinging to the past. Resentment means we're living with past hurts. And over and over and over again, see the thing that whatever it is that has hurt us has already been done, but we keep it alive in our hearts, and over and over and over again, we're hurt again by that single event. Amen. We make that happen. Churches have divided and disbanded totally by a failure of its members to forgive one another. Forgive one another. Job 18:4 says, you are torn to pieces because of your own anger. No wonder Paul said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Let it go. Send it away. Release it. Why? Because it's good for us personally and good for our congregational unity. Amen. Forgiveness is also crucial. Maybe this is the most important thing. Also crucial to our relationship with God. The scripture we just read in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men who sin against you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. Remember that? Amen. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so your Father in heaven may forgive you. Indeed, forgiving one another is crucial to our relationship with God. He says we can't pray to him properly without forgiving one another. We can't expect him to forgive us if we don't have forgiving hearts. Amen. Another thing, forgiveness is crucial to our witness. And I get in the Church of Christ, we don't use that term much. I suppose there are reasons for that. But if you don't like the word witness, it's crucial to our giving our testimony. Okay? Same thing, isn't it? We give testimony. And forgiveness is crucial to that. It was Jesus who said, John 13:35, the world will know you are my disciple, his witness, right? When you love one another. And a part of such love, the scripture teaches us, a part of such love, it's a willingness to forgive. The willingness. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Does that sound like scripture? It probably does, because it is. Is there any hate in heaven? No. If there is, I don't want to be there. I got that here. Is there any resentment in heaven? Any retaliatory schemes in heaven? Any disunity in heaven? In heaven, everybody is living at peace with God. Amen. Peace with God and with one another. Now, we've got to get that here. Stanley's preached that this is the dress rehearsal for heaven. We've got to learn how to live at peace with God and with one another here. Because if we can't do it here, we're not going to get there. Only people who are capable of living like that will be in heaven. And they're the only ones, really, that are going to want to be there. Remember, it was Jesus who said, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. When we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, we're praying, make us at peace in our church family. As it is in heaven, let it be here. Let it be, God, here. And to accomplish this, we must be willing not just to mouth the prayer, but to live it every day. Every day, live it. Passing on God's forgiveness to one another. Because I know what I have done. And I know God has forgiven me. And so when you do me wrong, I remember what God has done for me and the sacrifice He made for me. And whatever it is that you've done doesn't hold a candle to that. And so I can forgive you. I can let it go. Listen to Paul, Romans 12. Think about verse 17. Do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the sight of all men. What is right? As far as it be possible, Paul says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends upon you. Now, I recognize that some people don't want peace. And you can't change them. But if there isn't peace between you and someone else, this scripture says, let it not be because of you. Your heart needs to be right. If they will not allow you to have peace, then leave the situation. Maybe you try later. But within you, don't be the one to disturb the peace. That's what he's teaching here. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. It is His to avenge. Nobody wants to be a part of a church that is unable to forgive. A church without a forgiving spirit. A hateful church. Note with me some interesting things about church family forgiveness. Forgiveness is a personal choice. Forgiveness takes place inside, in here, amen, in us. It takes place in the minds of those. Now, reconciliation is a different thing. If we're at odds with one another, it's kind of like the peace thing, and we want to be reconciled, then both of us are going to have to do something to cause that to happen. Amen. Forgiveness isn't like that. Amen. I can forgive you. It's one way. I can forgive you whether you want me to or not. Whether you want to be reconciled or not, whether you want to forgive me or not, I can still forgive you. I can do it. Nothing stops me from forgiving but myself. And some say, well, I don't forgive because I don't feel like it. It just doesn't feel like the way I should do. You know, a lot of things in Christianity is not about feelings. And I think this is one of them. It's not an act of feeling. It's an act of will. It's a decision that we make. It's a determinate choice on our part to do what God has told us to do. When they say, but they haven't even asked for forgiveness. They haven't even asked me to forgive them. They haven't apologized. They don't deserve it. Watch out now. Do you? Do you deserve forgiveness? Watch out with that. The forgiveness we are promoting this morning is something that takes place in our hearts regardless of the behavior of the one who hurt us. We noted in past studies so many times that agape love is a love of choice. It's a love of discipline. And forgiveness is like that. We forgive because we choose to do it. I don't have to wait for you. I don't have to wait for another individual to say they're sorry or they're forgiving me or that they're going to change. I don't have to wait to do right. I can choose to forgive right now. It can happen in my heart. Just forgive. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift that God gives us, and it's a gift you give to other people. Whether or not they cherish it, you still, for yourself, need to give that. Amen. It's not something they earn. Amen. It has to do with grace. When you forgive another when they don't deserve it, that's our chance to have some grace in our lives. Joseph, remember Joseph? He forgave his brothers before they showed any sign of repentance. And David forgave Saul. This is interesting. David forgave Saul while he was still in pursuit of him, trying to kill him. On the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Remember Stephen? Dying from the stones they were hurling at him, he asked God to forgive the very ones throwing the stones at him. Forgiveness is a deliberate, rational act. It's not an emotional reflex. That's not the way it works. Our church family will be much more like heaven itself when we learn to forgive as God forgives. Jesus did. When he died on the cross, he did. Okay, does forgiveness, now this comes up all the time when we talk about forgiveness, does forgiveness demand that we forget? Now there's obviously, I assume that you think it's obvious, no way to purge the memory of an offense from our minds. And the deeper the hurt or the pain that we feel, the more difficult it is to keep the memory from coming to mind. We're not computers. We don't have a delete key. You delete and it's gone. Human beings don't work like that. And so we have to work like human beings work. It's true that God promises to forgive our sins, does he not? And remember them no more. That's what God says. Well, obviously, God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. When he forgives us our sins, he doesn't lose his memory. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know that we sinned before. So what does it mean? He promises not to bring them up anymore. If he brings up a sin, it'll be the one you have right now. He forgave you the others. Those are gone. He knows you did them. That's not what he means by not remember them. He's not going to recall them. He's not going to bring them to mind. He does not base our future relationship on unforgiven hurts and transgressions. That's not the way God is. That is exactly what is involved in our forgetting others. When someone does us a wrong, you know it, don't you? It's not like you never remember it. It's still there. But you don't hold them accountable for it. It doesn't affect your relationship from that point out with that person. Now, I can see you thinking, wow, I don't know about that. Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? Forgiveness simply means we have removed that offense, that hurt from the picture. How often? How often should we be willing to forgive? And this is another hard one. Forgive somebody, they do it again. Forgive them again, they do it again. It gets harder, doesn't it? It gets harder. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Remember when Peter asked him how many times? 70 times seven. Not seven, but 70 times seven. What Jesus was saying, what the scripture was teaching us, is that to pardon indefinitely, to always have a forgiving heart, keep on forgiving without keeping a record. You know, some of us, and when I say some of us, I'm thinking of myself, just if you want to know. Some of us have a little bit of a list that lives in our minds. And so we think, well, I'm not, okay, I forgave that person, but still on the list, right? You know what I'm saying? And then when the occasion rises and you get angry at that person, that forgiveness that you supposedly had, well, that list comes out. And then they get it, right? No, you can't do that. That sin you forgave them from. Now, if they have a new one, you got to work on forgiving them of that one. But the one that's in the past, and you know, if you have a marriage, it isn't going to survive unless you learn how to do that. Isn't it right? You got to learn how to do that. When you forgive somebody of something, you know, you shouldn't be bringing that up every time you get angry with them like a hammer, you know, hitting them on the head with it. That's not really forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3 tell us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We ought to forgive because relationships are worth it. Relationships, and I'm talking about now good relationships. A marriage relationship, a friendship. Have you ever had a really good friend? A really good friend. Somebody that you trusted. You trusted with your deepest, darkest secrets because you knew they wouldn't betray you. And somebody, see, that's the thing about these kinds of relationships and marriage relationships too. My wife and I, you know. You could hurt my feelings, but you have to know how. You could try to hurt my feelings and not because you don't know how. But my wife, she knows how. You don't understand? She knows what I'm made of. She knows the things that would hurt me. And what makes these relationships as special is that I'm vulnerable to that, and she never uses that. She never does that. Now, when you have a friend that you trust the same thing with, and you're vulnerable, and they never use that. They never use your weakness or whatever you want to call it against you. That's a friend. That's a relationship. Isn't that valuable? Man, who if you don't have that relationship, you want it, don't you? You want someone like that in your life. Relationships are worth it. The lack of forgiveness causes disunity in our church fellowship. It causes a lack of forgiveness causes us to question one another's motives. If I have something against you and you decide to do a good deed, already my mind is running, yeah, well, look what he's doing. I wonder why he's doing that, right? It looks good on it. No. Forgive. Let it go. Don't start questioning motives. An unforgiving spirit divides churches and destroys relationships. We're going to close this lesson here just a minute. I'm on the end of it here. First, I want to raise the question of how do we instigate forgiveness, or how do we go about it? And I would submit that it's a lot like repentance. It takes a change in our hearts to be able to forgive. Attempting forgiveness without changing our hearts, it just leads to serious conflicts and problems within ourselves and within the church family. Forgiveness must not be hypocritical. It just doesn't work. Some people know they should forgive, so they pretend to forgive. No, that's hypocritical. You say, well, then I just won't forgive. Well, you can choose that too, but that's no better than being hypocritical. Get you in the same place, right? It must be genuine. It must be true. And your motive must be pure. We must pray for God's intervention in the process. See, this is where we forget. I would submit to you that proper forgiveness in many cases, if not all cases, is not possible without the help of God's Holy Spirit living within us. You can do it if you let God live in you and let that Holy Spirit guide you. We must admit our need, our shortcomings. We must ask Him to soften our heart. If you're having a problem forgiving, and sometimes we do, ask God to soften your heart, to help you with this. Give us patience and understanding with one another. Mold us into the image of His Son. Let me be like Jesus. Forgive them. They don't know. Even if they do know, forgive them. That's the way Jesus was. We must be willing to get out of the revenge business. Don't take revenge. I know it's the truth. Some of the things that people do, they deserve to pay for it. But that's not your job. Your job isn't to make them. Sometimes we think we have to protect God. Boy, this sin, look what they did against God. God's got it. Leave it to Him. Let Him take care of that. That's not your business. Punishment for sin, any sin, is out of our hands. It's God's work. Leave it there. We must act upon our good intentions. Be ready to say, and I would submit to you that this is a deficiency in me for sure. Be willing to say, I love you and forgive. So powerful if you mean it. Do good to those who hurt us. It's a Bible principle. Do not quench the spirit of forgiveness. Let God do His work in you. Some of you are thinking, but brother, you have no idea how I've been hurt. No, I don't. I really don't. And others may be saying, well, you know, I've tried to forgive, but the hurt just keeps coming. I've prayed about it. I've asked God to help me with my ugly thoughts of revenge, but nothing happens. I know that too. I know that's a reality. But I also know this. The Scripture tells us that if we will shun Satan's attempts to bring the hurt to mind, that one day those evil thoughts of revenge and retaliation will leave us. I think sometimes we use that as an excuse because the reality is we just don't want to forgive. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done. We listen to Satan instead of listening to God's Holy Spirit. Now, some of us here this morning need God's forgiveness. Reality is we all need God's forgiveness. But it's all made possible through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I want you to know that whatever your situation and your relationship with God is right now, you can go home this day, this morning, you can go home forgiven, free from the guilt and every sin that you've ever committed. You can go home a child of God by faith in Him, by repentance of your sins, and the New Testament baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to have them washed away. Perhaps some of us this morning need to forgive someone. Perhaps we haven't. Perhaps there's something in our hearts that needs not to be there. But we can go home too, enjoying the blessings that God has promised those who will extend such mercy to others. Maybe you're here and you need the prayers of this church family to help you deal with a spirit of unforgiveness. I think we're afraid to tell each other when we have that problem, but you know what? We need to confess our sins to one another. We need help with this stuff. You're not alone. I guarantee you're not alone. Perhaps you need to accept the forgiveness of the one who offers it. God. Whatever your need this morning, respond to God's prompting publicly or privately as we stand and sing this invitation song together.